Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Guanajuato Silver, also known as G Silver. That's what I'll be referring to the company throughout this interview. G Silver is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GSVR, as well as the OTCQX under the symbol GSVRF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, James Anderson. Now, James, it's been actually quite a while since we had you back on the show. We chatted more middle of this summer, 2021. Since that time, the company has made some pretty key progress here on this El Cubo mine and mill. The company announced on October 28th that you have completed the first sale of precious metals concentrate. This all just ties into the production running what it sounds like on track and on time to get to now a production scenario at this El Cubo mine. James, take us through how this has progressed and now what the production scenario looks like from El Cubo, please.
Well, thank you, Corey. Thank you, Shad. Thanks for having me back on. And yeah, I mean, I think you touched on a whole bunch of the things that are really important, Corey. We spoke in the summertime about moving El Cubo. That's in the Guanajuato mining district, a 480-year-old mining district right in central Mexico, famous for silver and gold production for the last 450 years, moving El Cubo back into production. Many companies try, but most do not make it to the production stage. So we are very proud to have started silver and gold production. We've and our first revenues in mid-October, as you were talking about. So we like, you know, we have a mantra here. We are on track, on time, and on budget. And if you say it enough, sometimes it happens. Also, if you say it enough and suddenly you are not those things, then everybody in the company knows. So moving the thing back into production, we were and continue to be on track, on time, and on budget. You were asking about, you know, where, what sort of levels of production we're going to. In our PEA that Baird Olbert did earlier in the year, they projected annual average production of 1.8 million silver equivalent ounces per year. And though our internal modeling comes at it just a little bit different, that's actually exactly the same number that we see for 2022, is 1.8 million silver equivalent ounces. And then what we see internally now, we see a ramp up to 2.4 million silver equivalent ounces in 2023. So we're quite happy about, you know, checking off all of those boxes and moving towards additional production, because we are Mexico's and the world's right now newest precious metals producer.
Well, big congratulations are in order, James, to you and your team for pulling it off. Like you mentioned, it's a milestone that very few companies will cross, going from development and actually making it into production. I think it'd be nice if you took a moment for people not familiar with the story to just back up and explain how you acquired the El Cubo mine from Endeavor Silver, how your mining method might be a little different than the way they were approaching it, with less waste and, you know, more narrow focus, and how you see that playing into the economics as you now move into production.
Sure. Okay. So just backing up a little bit, Guanajuato Silver had and continues to have an excellent exploration project near the El Cubo mine called El Pingüico. So we had that asset. We did a 1,000-ton bulk sample with Endeavor Silver a little over a year ago. That instigated a conversation about maybe a smaller company like us could buy the bigger company's El Cubo assets. So we signed a letter of intent in December. We raised $17 million Canadian dollars to pay for the asset. In March, we signed a definitive agreement. In April, we took 5.5 months to put the thing back online. We started mining in August, started putting material through the processing plant in September, first sales of silver and gold in October. So it's a remarkably fast event. Endeavor, when they owned this, And Endeavor paid a lot of money for this asset. Endeavor paid $200 million US dollars for this asset. We paid 15. Endeavor tried to mine the narrow high-grade veins that exist at El Cubo in a bigger way than maybe the mine is comfortable. They built built quite a large processing plant, and the processing plant can do about 50,000 tons a month. What we will do is much more narrow vein mining. And what we feel is we'll be mining the El Cubo deposit and the Villalpando and Dolores vein systems in a more representative way to how they exist in nature, which is narrow and high grade. Endeavor tried to do it just a little bit differently and do a lot more bulk mining within those vein structures. When you do that, you take a lot of dilution, and we don't think that that's the best way towards profitability. So we will mine less, but at a higher grade. Our cost per ton will be higher, but our cost per ounce, we feel, will be significantly lower. So it's a different philosophy, if you will, a different mining, a series of different mining techniques. That's how we want to move into the future and be as profitable as we can.
So, James, you guys actually just announced that you did complete, I believe, the final payment to Endeavor for $2.5 million US. This satisfies that $15 million price tag. So now that you have this asset, what comes next? Where does the growth come from? What do you do?
Yeah, so it was a $15 million price tag. We paid $7.5 million in cash up front, plus $5 million worth of our shares. So Endeavor remains our largest shareholder at this time. And then we owed them another $2.5 million US dollars plus Mexican value added tax, okay, which is 16%. So it's really $2.9 million. And in order for the market to have clarity about, you know, when and how and our ability to pay for that, we discussed that with our friends at Endeavor and said, well, look, we'll pay you early if you reduce the price tag by just $25,000. And they said, yeah, that seems to be like a good business maneuver on both accounts, on both parties' sides. So we did that. And I think for the market, I think that's important because the market can realize that payment, that debt, is no longer on our balance sheet. And sorry, Corey, I lost my train of thought. What else were we talking about there?
I was more just asking, what does the ramp up look like? What are you guys going to do now that you own this asset? What are you doing here? How are you ramping this up?
Yeah, and the ramp up, I mean, that's our other mantra. After on track, on time, and on budget, everything's ramp up here. And but most of that ramp up is not in terms of tons, because we feel that if we do that, then we'll go down the same path that Endeavor did, and that's not what we want to do. Most of the ramp up is in terms of grade. As we focus on higher grade portions of the mine, we do have to spend some money and do some development work in order to get to the higher grade areas. But that is all working within our bigger, grander financial model. And so far, month to month, you know, although we wiggle and jiggle just a little bit, our financial model continues to be spot on.
Well, James, another development that's happened recently that you had mentioned a little bit off mic, it might be nice to unpack, is the new collective bargain agreement you have with the union there. Explain to us why that kind of ties into the ESG theme that's important, but also just having good community relations and happy workers.
So I do think that it's very, very important. So first of all, let's just talk specifically. The old collective bargaining agreement, and in Mexico, these collective bargaining agreements, they survive different companies taking over these assets. The union has been embedded at El Cubo for a long, long time. So Endeavor had to deal with that in their way. They had, with the union, a very old collective bargaining contract. Ultimately, it's about 70 years old, and different owners have had to deal with that over time. That old contract was very Byzantine, old-fashioned. What we've done is ask the union to terminate that old collective bargaining agreement and enter into a brand new, streamlined 21st century agreement. That's what they've done, and it's very, very helpful, both in terms of costs, but also just in terms of our ability to be able to discuss with the union a whole bunch of various issues. So we've got that in place. We're very, very happy to have done that. And in terms of ESG, I think the ease with which we've done that and come to this new platform with the union speaks very loudly to our almost exclusively Mexican team in Mexico. Other companies bring their expatriate managers to Mexico to go mining. We have embedded on the ground in Mexico our chief operating officer, Hernan Dorado, our general manager, his father, Gerardo Dorado, and Ramon Davila, a giant in the mining industry in Mexico, the chief operating officer of First Majestic, through all their growth phase from zero production to 12 million silver equivalent ounces per ton. All of these people are embedded in the company in Mexico. So when we sit down with the union, it's Mexican business people talking to the Mexican union. They don't need any help from me to be able to come to a negotiated settlement.
Well, kudos to you there, James, for getting that new collective bargaining agreement settled. Let's also talk about the most recent news release, came out November 18th, a financing private placement for a total of $8.25 million. That's at 55 cents a unit. What can you tell us about the need to raise this money, what it will be used for?
Yeah, so a lot of it is simply to replenish the coffers of the Treasury. So as I mentioned last week, we spent $3 million US, so that's about $3.75 million Canadian dollars, repaying that last bit of money that we owed to Endeavor. And we felt that this was a good time, now that we're in production, having revenue, to be able to refill our coffers. Because as you know, Corey and Shad, this is often where these junior precious metals producers fail. We're in a big game here, and we need to have a treasury that's reflective of that big game. We will continue to invest in the business. We will continue to invest in additional ventilation, additional electrical components. We've got two of our three ball mills running currently. Again, all of this is in the plan, in our model, but we want a little bit more financial cushion to be able to address any bumps in the road that come up. Addressing those bumps in the road from a financial perspective, is the time to do that is not when you have a bump in the road. It's when you're setting out, from your driveway in the morning. So we're very happy about that, and we have orders, support from all of our key major shareholders. That includes Endeavor Silver, Mermican Capital. That's Dan Oliver's fund from Connecticut. All but one of the directors and officers of the company will be participating in the private placement. So the list goes on, but it's an oversubscribed private placement, and it is very well supported by current shareholders.
Well, James, now that you're cashed up and you're moving into production and you've made your last payment on the mine, what are the key news events you want investors to focus on as we round out the year and move into 2022 on the exploration, development, and production front?
Yeah, I think what I would say to most investors right now, Shad, is keep an eye on our ramp up, but be patient with that. When I say ramp up, some people want to call me back tomorrow morning and say, so how's that ramp up going? This is a ramp up that occurs over a number of months, until we hit that production volume, that projected annual average production of 1.8 million silver equivalent ounces per year. So, we're going to be ramping up in that way. And then in a broader context, anybody that's heard me tell this story over the last number of months will have heard me make allusions to a number of the different assets within the greater Guanajuato area that are either stranded or, not well thought of by other people in the district. We think that we can use El Cubo, and specifically the 25,000 tons of processing capacity that we have per month, to be able to expand our operations in Guanajuato. It is one of North America's oldest, best established mining camps. But as these things go over the decades, the pendulum has swung in one direction for Guanajuato. And it does not afford big companies to come and explore here. We view that as an opportunity. And we think that we can use El Cubo as a platform to be a hub and spoke miner in this area. And so in the months ahead, that's the direction for Guanajuato Silver.
That's the big picture aspect right there, right? You've built out the first spoke, I guess, or hub, we can call it. And from there, you are looking at expanding and growing on this production model. James, kudos to you for getting this asset back into production, and we'll follow along as you continue to move forward with your plan here to increase into, well, 2023 and hit that much higher production from where you're currently at. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you. James, thanks again for the update. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, gentlemen. Talk to you real soon.